Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Christ says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" And then he concludes with this, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." I went looking for something the other day, but when I got there, it wasn't there. I looked around thinking where it might be, and finally I found it, but not where I was looking or expected it to be. The ups and downs of this week's Ryder Cup that I watched some of brought John Daly, professional golfer, to mind. An unknown at the time in the golfing world, until Crooked Stick Country Club in 1991, where the PGA Championship was played, which he was entered into by a last-minute withdrawal of another pro, and he won the tournament, and then he watched his name engraved on that PGA Championship trophy, one of four majors played that year, and his first ever PGA win. He thought he had now found what he was looking for, but he found out that it wasn't there. And then he won the 1995 British Open, another major golf tournament on the famed St. Andrews Old Course, and he kissed the claret jug, which was given to him, emblematic of the year's best golfer. But it wasn't there either, he would find. Instead, he found two divorces, two rounds of alcohol rehabilitation, gambling, inappropriate behavior, suspension from golf, from the very place where he thought he would find fulfillment, success, and adulation, golf. But John Daly discovered, even with all his golfing heroics, which the world holds up as success for us, that it wasn't there. There must be something more. Now retired, Tom Brady could probably still play pro football. He has seven Super Bowl rings. Seven. I wonder what he was looking for. And I say that because of an interview I watched in 2005 with CBS's Steve Croft after Brady had won his third Super Bowl that year. Steve asked him, "Which of the rings do you like the best? What's your favorite?" And Tom responded, "I always said the next one. The next one's the best." At another point in the interview, Tom Brady said, "Why do I have three rings and still think there is something greater out there for me? Got to be more than this." And Steve Croft then asked him, "What's the answer?" To which Tom Brady responded, "I wish I knew." A dear, close friend and a follower of Christ, recognized as one of basketball's great coaches, told me that if he ever wrote a book, one thing he would be sure to share to all aspiring young coaches and other success seekers, climbing the ladders in their profession, seeking success, striving for wins, fame, and championships, that if they ever do climb to the top of those worldly goals that they're after, they'll discover that what they thought they would find was not there. So where is it that we will find that life of fulfillment, that life of satisfaction, that life of impact and hope? In her book, Hope for the Flowers, it's a children's book, but for children of all ages, I discovered. Trina Paulus tells the story of two caterpillars, Stripe and Yellow, who spent most of each day together eating leaves and getting bigger and bigger. Until one day, thinking that there must be something more to life, Stripe crawled from his perch in a tree down to the ground to experience new things, things like grass, dirt, holes, and tiny bugs. But none seemed to satisfy him. There were other caterpillars crawling around doing the same things, and he sighed to himself, "They don't know any more about life than I do." Then he saw a bunch of caterpillars rapidly crawling toward a tall column rising high in the air. As he got near the base of the column, he could see it was a pushing, squirming pile of other caterpillars just like him. He felt a surge of excitement, Maybe I'll find it there, he thought to himself. He asked another caterpillar, what was at the top? No one knows, the caterpillar said, but it must be awfully good because everybody's rushing to get there. Hearing that, Stripe plunged into the pile and began to climb. He stepped on others to get up higher, ignored remarks of those who were climbing back down, saying that there's nothing there. Yet when he finally reached the top, after all it took to get there, he sadly realized it wasn't there. He had wasted his efforts on the wrong thing. For all he could see from the top was a landscape of thousands of other columns of caterpillars, just like the one he had climbed to the top of, column after column, as far as he could see, each containing millions of caterpillars climbing to the top, to nowhere. Then he heard, but you can be more. The words came from a beautiful yellow butterfly circling the column that he was on as Stripe climbed down past the squirming stack of caterpillars climbing to the top like he had. Something seemed familiar about her voice. Then he realized that it was Yellow, his caterpillar friend. She was urging him towards something more than the world's voices calling to him to keep climbing ladders and columns just to reach the top. And soon after, he surrendered his life to being who he was created to be. And shortly after that, he emerged from his cocoon and soared as a beautiful black butterfly. Now, together with Yellow, as the butterflies they were meant to be and created to be, they added beauty to the world around them and brought hope to the flowers. At the lowest point of his life, Monty Williams, now the head coach of the NBA's Detroit Pistons, demonstrated in 2016 where his satisfaction and real fulfillment was to be found. His 44-year-old bride, Ingrid, had just been killed in a head-on collision caused by another driver crossing over the center line of the road at a high rate of speed. Ingrid left behind Monty and their five children, ages 5 to 17 years of age, and now he stood before 900 in attendance at Ingrid's memorial service to deliver her eulogy. As those gathered listened in respectful silence, Monty urged them to turn to God's love and goodness whenever they are feeling down, as he and his children were doing now. During times like this, he said, it's easy to forget that because what we've gone through is pretty tough and it's hard and we don't always get that answer when we want it, but God is still there and we can't lose sight of the fact that God loves us. He reminded those gathered that there were two families grieving that day, that the driver of the other car had been killed also. That family, he said, didn't wake up that morning wanting to hurt my wife. Life is hard. It's very hard. We have no ill will toward that family. In my house, we have a sign that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We cannot serve the Lord if we don't have a heart of forgiveness. We may think we have lost her, but we haven't, because we know exactly where she is, sitting with God the Father. This is hard for my family, he continued, but this will work out. And my wife would punch me if I were to sit up here and whine about what was going on. I know where she is, and it will all work out because God causes all things to work out for good because we love him. There it is. There's the path to fulfillment and satisfaction in life through relationship with, trust in, and surrender to the God who loves you and is always, always with you. You won't find it in a PGA golf championship, holding a claret jug high for winning the British Open, being fitted for Super Bowl rings or other championship symbols, or in accumulating money and things. You won't find it by climbing any of the ladders the world says to climb while people around you are in need. You can climb to what the world says to climb, but you will find that when you get to the top of the ladder or column, it isn't there. But you will find it in a life surrendered to and aligned with my God, the God of my dear friend, the God of Monty and Ingrid Williams, and your God. My friends, what are you climbing toward? Where are you looking for fulfillment and satisfaction in life? Is it in worldly acclaim? To see your name in lights or etched on a Super Bowl ring or on a wall or a building somewhere? Where are you spending your energies, your efforts, and heart? What are you doing with all your gifts, talents, and resources? What columns are you climbing, and for what purpose? At the end of your life on earth, what will your legacy be? What value will you have added to the lives God brought before you to bless? What impact will you and all your gifts and resources have made for eternity? Will lives around you come to know Christ and begin to live the life they were created to live and be assured of eternal life in heaven with Him? What are you climbing toward? Seek first the kingdom of God, the God who created you and me, and in that relationship, become all you were created to be for yourself, for others, for Him, and for the hope of all the world. Let me pray for us. Father, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you for the passage in Matthew where Christ, your Son, says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to follow you, to fully surrender to you, so you can guide and direct us in the life that you created us to live, to have an impact in the world that we were created to have with you and for you. Help us to see those faces you bring before us, Lord, so that we may make a difference with your help in their lives. Thank you for all you do for us and with us. Thank you for the examples of so many, Lord, that we look up to that are serving you. Help us to be there and serve as well with you and for you, all those around us, to seek first your kingdom, to leave a legacy that adds value to the lives of others around us. Thank you, Lord. In your Son's precious, precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.